Shalom. This is part three of What is Heaven?
Promised Land.
What? The land of promise. The land Yahweh promised. Where is it? The whole earth.
Kingdom of Heaven. Celestial happiness. Eden.
Where was Eden? On earth. So Eden was what? Heaven where?
On earth.
I have proven my case. Irrefutably. Genesis chapter 1. Where is heaven located?
On earth.
On earth. Where on earth? In our mind. It's just some more dirt if your mind is not right. Genesis 2, 8. Genesis 2, 8. Read.
And the Lord God Yahweh planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed.
Heaven right on earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Read.
In the beginning, Yahweh created the heaven and the earth.
Together. Together. And as a conjunction, connection. So where did Yahweh, this is the first proof where heaven was created. And if you travel out in space and look back at the universe, there's only one beautiful planet. It's blue, the beautiful blue. All the rest of them are dead. They don't look, you don't see life. The most beautiful planet, you know it's heaven just when you get out there. You'll be coming right back. You'll say, no, nah, I'm going to hang out on Mars. I'm going on back to Earth. I'm going to heaven. In this particular universe, that's the only heaven there is, Earth. Yeah, go on, go out. Take some pictures and see. You'll come back to Earth. You say right away, I'm going to heaven. You can go where you want. I'm going to heaven. I can see heaven. That's that blue ball out there. Yahweh created heaven and earth together. Somebody lied to us. Prove my case. Genesis 2, 4. No, I'm going to go back. I'm going back. Genesis 1, verse 8 and 9. Read.
And Yahweh called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day.
This is how you count time. Go ahead.
And Yahweh said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so.
The earth is heaven. When the land appeared, that was heaven. Where did the land appear? The dry land appeared out of the wet water. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered. Yahweh did a raising. He raised the earth. Dry land. The whole planet is the earth. So heaven is the planet. Heaven. Genesis 2, 4.
3.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the days that the Lord God Yahweh made the earth and the heavens.
So that's interchangeable. See, the first time he said heavens and earth, then he let you know it's the same. Then he reversed and said the earth and the heavens. Meaning they are what? They're together. So where is heaven located? Somebody tricked us. Heaven is a mind thing. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, you see heaven is a mind thing. Read.
And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.
They failed to make of themselves a good name because they were subordinate. They were inferior. They had an inferior mind. Children of Cain. So they were scattered. But notice what heaven is, a good name. On earth, a good name. They wanted to reach to heaven, but they were incapable. They were unable. See, they had already killed Abel. So they were not qualified. Now, I taught you that last night, so I'm letting you put it together. See, they murdered Abel. Abel was in the ground, in the dirt. That's where you are, in the ground, in the dirt. But I'm here to resurrect you out of it. You have to understand that's your condition. Now, I've gotten rid of that, a whole part of another book. That's the only way I'm going to get through it, is don't do this part of the book. It's a lot of books. I'm just doing one page. That's the second page, but I have a whole book. That's the way it is. I've only taught you, not even a page, I've taught you a word. I've carried you through heaven and earth with one word. Now, your dictionary says that heaven is a divine abode. Get your dictionary. I think that's what it says. That heaven is a divine abode.
Heaven, the abode of Yahweh, the angels, and the spirits of the righteous after death.
Your enemies knew, the enemy of Yahweh, the enemy of heaven, the enemy of the people of heaven, the enemies of the sons and daughters of heaven, they knew they could put this in the dictionary and know which way you would take it until your Savior comes. This is clear proof that all of our leaders, all of our educators, all of our scientists, all of our doctors, all of our lawyers are not only blind, deaf, dumb, ignorant, but also dead. It says that in order to enter heaven, before you can enter heaven, you must be born again. Praise Yahweh. Now the people of the earth knew you were coming back again. See, in Genesis, you were in heaven. You were created in heaven. Put in heaven. You were once in heaven. And you were kicked out of heaven. And then that's when you experienced death.
you die. Yahweh says, if you eat of the tree of evil and good, you will surely die. And you can only live in heaven after that. You have already died. Being born again means you have to die first. Now the terrestrial mind says, how can I enter my mother's womb again? But now you understand another scripture. You must kill the old man before you can take on a new man. Now, just in case you don't understand kill and that's too harsh for you, the word says you must cast out the old man. That's the only way you can take on the new man. You're going to have to empty your glass. Get rid of all that corrupted, polluted water. So your glass can be filled, your cup can be filled with a new. I'll take care of this book. And I didn't even get to the first word of that book. I just happen to know the book. I'm the book. Isn't it gratifying to see that veil being moved back? Praise Yahweh. Now, if you've been missing my classes and missing this feast and missing, you know, what I teach, then you are mystified at what I'm saying. But if you have been studying to show yourself approved under Yahweh, then as I speak, you can see the veil moving back. Beginning to see. Why is your mind called the old man? He's an old serpent. How old is that man mind in you? 6,000 years old. He's an old devil. He's an old crooked set of thoughts. But I am come to make the crooked things straight. Praise Yahweh. Your enemies never wanted you to hear these words you're hearing this week. Your enemies thought they had beat prophecy. Yet you are hearing divinity. That's what you're hearing. And I'm speaking a language that the world cannot understand. Though it's English, I'm speaking a sublime English. I'm speaking a sublime Hebrew. If I spoke the Hebrew that I spoke to Adam, then you would still be kicked out again. If I spoke the same Hebrew that I spoke to Moses, you'd never see New Jerusalem. But I'm speaking a sublime Hebrew. if we were speaking my regular Hebrew language, you couldn't get high like you get. You couldn't be set free like you being set free. You could not be delivered with the regular old Hebrew. I come doing a new work, a new thing, with a sublime language that even though the whole world, 10% of the world speak English, they can't understand my language. No matter how well versed my enemy and your enemy is, whether you use a lexicon, or he calls himself a linguist, or he used a thesaurus, or if he used a synonym finder, anonym finder, word finder, dictionary, encyclopedia, or whatever, Bible interpreter, dictionary, with all of my tools, he can't understand my language. When I'm speaking English to the unlearned and the unlettered, it's like I'm speaking in parables. I'm speaking allegorically and metaphors and in similes, prophetically and symbolically. And being a scholar won't help you understand what I speak. You have to be born again. Praise Yahweh. And before you are born again, there's another requirement. My message is so celestially sublime that of 5 billion people on the planet Earth, all of them speak in English. Only the genes and chromosomes of 144,000 are capable of understanding, comprehending, inculcating, and practicing what I teach. A poor man can't go to heaven. Can't do it. Can't do it. Although the scriptures say the poor and the meek shall inherit the earth, but you can't inherit it poor. Why are you poor? The Bible describes a poor person as one who is destitute of wealth and destitute of material goods, lacking even the necessities of life. And when the poor came to the apostles seeking physical wealth, although they had plenty of it, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you." Acts what? 3:6? Giving a poor man silver and gold won't qualify him to enter heaven. You can be like the rich man and have $1 billion, $100 million, $500 million, and you still won't qualify to enter heaven. Even with all the money, you won't qualify. And being poor, you sure enough can't qualify. It's illegal for a poor man to be in heaven. And being rich does not guarantee you heaven. And begging for money won't create heaven for you. Read.
Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Yahweh, then Yahweh of Nazareth, rise up and walk."
Walk. That means without help. Without depending on somebody to help you walk. Get up off of welfare and walk. Get up off of depending on folks for jobs and walk for yourself. You don't need no set aside. Quit waiting on set aside. Get up and walk for yourself. Like the man you begging, he's walking. White people are walking for themselves. They don't ask you to help them walk. Get up and walk. Quit asking for help. Rise up, Black Judah. Rise up, Black man. Walk. the road of self-sufficiency and independence for yourself and know what it means to be a creator, a sustainer, an employer, a free man, a provider, a supplier, one who aids, one who assists. No nigger can go to heaven. That's why I wrote your book. I told you, not a nigger. I'm telling you, you can't go to heaven as a nigger. You can't be niggardly and go to heaven. It's antithetical. It's antithetical to heaven. Heaven's right here on earth. You found that out already. The Bible describes a poor person as one who is destitute, absolutely without wealth and material goods, lacking even the necessities of life. These are the needy. Anyone who needs deliverance from material exigencies, evil, anyone who needs help from being delivered from evil, anyone who needs help to be delivered from sin, is poor and needy in respect to Yahweh. Look up E-X-I-G-E-N-C-I-E-S. Read.
Exigency. Extended state or character.
See? Hey, hold it. See? Now you're into character. Anyone who needs deliverance from their material character. Read on.
Urgency.
Urgency. Go ahead.
The need, demand, or requirement intrinsic to a circumstance, condition, etc.
You're talking about a circumstance, and so you need deliverance from your circumstance. Then you can, and it's an intrinsic part of you and your makeup and your mentality. You can't enter heaven in such a need. That need has to be removed before you can enter heaven.
A case or situation which demands prompt action or remedy.
If your situation needs action and a remedy, a solution, you can't enter heaven in need of a remedy. Understand now? I mean, you say, well, we need civil rights, and we need voting rights, and we need, as long as you need those things, you can't enter heaven. As long as you are without a remedy and a solution to your problem, you can't enter heaven. A destitute person cannot enter heaven. One whose mind is destitute. Huh? One whose character is deficient can't enter heaven. The poor are those whose prosperity and social status have been reduced, unexalted, debased. Shame on you. Can't enter heaven. You can't enter heaven as one of the scorned. Neither can you enter heaven as one of the scornful. If your social status is not of the highest, you cannot enter heaven. And any preacher who preached your mama into heaven or somebody else into heaven and they had a low social status, they just took your money and make you feel good for nothing because they're still not in heaven. Heaven is right here on earth, and you know they're not in heaven because you're not. Go to Exodus 23, verse 3. Blow your mind. 23:3, read.
Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause.
What does countenance mean? Huh? Face. Give me countenance. Don't face a poor man in his cause. Don't help him. Or what? Don't approve of him. He can't enter heaven. Isn't that a shock? Right here in the Bible. Read countenance.
Countenance. Appearance, especially the expression of the face. the face, visage, calm facial expression, composure, approval or favor.
Never approve a poor man called. See how I'm going to trick you? They say, what do you want, a grant? Okay. They're approving of you in your cause. What's the result? You stay poor. All the grant money goes to the writer, the president, the secretary, the facilitator, the director, and their immediate staff. And the people for whom the money, in whose name the money was given, which is the poor, never get any. If the writer of the program is a man, he and his women on the top get all the money, and the poor continue suffering in hell. Come on, tell me I'm wrong. Stop. Come on, give me some evidence. Give me some evidence that I'm wrong. And we're forbidden to favor or approve of a poor man in his cause. Whatever cause you have, I'll never approve of it. Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Salvation Army, or nothing else. The last thing you need is a handout. You need a hand up, a kick up. I'm never going to hand you a fish. Care how poor you are, I'll hand you a fishing pole and tell you how to fish. Rise up and go fishing. You don't work, you don't deserve to eat. Where? 2 Thessalonians what? 3:10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. They favor you with welfare. You don't have to work. AFDC, you and your children don't have to work. Social Security, you don't have to work. Retire from working, so you don't have to work. But all this money comes from those of us that work. Can you imagine getting unemployed compensation? Compensation for not being employed? You don't need anything. You need just what you have, nothing. And I'm going to see that you get just that. If I have to break America, I'll break her where you can't get nothing. I'm breaking her, Eastern and IT&T and all these other entities. I shut down steel mills in the country, ship your jobs overseas to Korea, Japan, Hong Kong, Thailand, China, Europe, Russia. I got your jobs all over the world. And I'm not finished with bringing America to her knees. When I bring America to her knees, I bring you to your knees. You're not going to listen to Yahweh until I make your knee bow. And then when your knee bow bring you to your knees, then your tongue will confess, Yahweh is God. Yahweh really is God. He really is. America will have to suffer being brought to her knees because she's holding on to you. She should never have brought you over here and put you in slavery in the first place. But since she did, now I am come and she has nerve to try to hinder me from raising you up out of your poor condition so you can enter heaven. She cast my name out as evil to you so you won't come and follow your Savior and your Deliverer, the one who will give you heaven. So I offer you heaven, but the enemy, your enemy, teach you don't come to me. So I'll bring your enemy to their knees. And when I bring your enemy, enemy to their knees, then you'll be on your knees. Because you can't live without your enemy. You are dependent on your enemy for life, for food, clothing, and shelter. You depend on your enemy for everything you have, and you will crack it up. Your enemy even gives you crack. Make you a co-conspirator with Cain. Make you a cocainite. Instead of using rocks to build your house, instead of using rocks to build your factory, instead of using rocks to build your industry, instead of using rocks to build your own school, you got the nerve to set a rock on fire and burn it up as if you're a volcano. Well, you're going to erupt. I just gave you proof in Exodus 23 and 3 that Yahweh does not approve of a poor man. I don't want nobody around me that wants to be poor. I'm not going to help you do nothing to stay poor. You poor on your own. I don't approve of nothing, nothing you do to stay poor. I don't approve of that. You know, some people, you have to push them all the way out your house before they'll go to work. They'll always run around and find somebody to lay up on so they don't pay their fair share. And think they slick. They think they slicker than me, and I just keep nudging them. I'm trying to wake the nigga up. Get on up, go to work. Do your share. You can't go to heaven with me, poor. Dressing in white doesn't make you with me. It's a lot of folk in here wore white, but they're not with me. They are poor. And you can't go to heaven and be in heaven and live in heaven on earth. You'll never live in luxury with supreme happiness. You'll never live rich and be blessed for poor.
This concludes part 3 of What is Heaven?
Loading. One moment, please. The new Yahweh Ben Yahweh website now offers the latest in streaming technology to aid you in your study of the laws and teachings of Yahweh Ben Yahweh. Visit YahwehBenYahweh.com and learn about the Tetragrammaton, the meaning of the crucifixion, and how to keep the Sabbath. YahwehBenYahweh.com is your home for truth and insight. Read about Operation Word War and how you can work to balance justice. Shalom.